Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be taking a look at the following hot topic, a topic that has to do with tongues, modern-day tongues speaking. Is it okay for those who claim today that they have the gift of tongues, is it okay for them to simply babble in the air or speak in the air? There are those who will say yes, and they will use, if you want to open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 9, where the Apostle Paul declared to the Christians there in Corinth, "So also, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what it is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air." Was Paul saying that's a good thing? Or was Paul rebuking them? So today's topic, speaking in tongues. Is it okay that you're speaking in the air? If you've been with us in our recent series, we have been here in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and now 14. Three chapters where Paul was talking, or actually writing, to the Corinthian church the overall topic, spiritual gifts. And as Paul was instructing them about the proper use of spiritual gifts, the God-given purpose of spiritual gifts, as Paul talked about variety of spiritual gifts, he slowly started to introduce this idea of tongues. Back then, you had the legitimate, genuine gift of tongues, that which the apostles had. And that gift allowed a person, in the power of the Spirit, to suddenly be able to speak in clear, intelligible foreign languages that the person who had the gift of tongues had never studied before, had never practiced. But suddenly, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the person who had the gift of tongues, the real gift, was able to speak in clear, intelligible foreign languages. Again, as we've been studying, we saw that very thing happen with the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Well, the apostles were not the only ones who had the gift of tongues back then. There were people in the Corinthian church who had it. The real gift was still in operations back then. But there was also the counterfeit, nonsensical, ecstatic gibberish, which nobody could understand. And that counterfeit actually made its way into the Corinthian church. Where did the counterfeit come from? The pagan mystery cults of back then, where pagans would gather together to worship their false god or gods. They would get high on drugs, mind-numbing pharmakeia drugs, and they would also get drunk on alcohol, and they would suspend all rational thinking, and they just wanted to let their emotions run wild to the point that they claimed, pagans claimed, that once they were able to get into this ecstatic, frenzied state, they then could start to break out in nonsensical gibberish, bata, 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 which the pagans claimed was a language that drew them closer to their pagan deities. It was nuts. Going to a pagan, idolatrous event back then, people were high, people were drunk, you had orgies happening. They claimed that it gave pleasure to the gods. And you had this frenzied, emotional cacophony of chaos. Bata, 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 bata. Nonsensical gibberish. Well, unfortunately, that made its way into the Corinthian church. And so, as Paul is talking about the gift of tongues, you have to understand. In here, especially in chapter 14, he's talking about two things. The real genuine gift and the counterfeit. The real genuine gift, which was given to some by God the Holy Spirit, where they could speak in clear, intelligible foreign languages that others could understand and that somebody could interpret. You also had the counterfeit, the gibberish. That didn't come from the Holy Spirit. That came from the pagan mystery cults. And so, here in chapter 14, we studied last time, verses 1 through 5, and today we're going to make our way down verses 6 through 12. And we're going to see how Paul was continuing to rebuke some in the Corinthian church because of the counterfeit gibberish that they brought into the church. And if you recall, last time, I explained to you that here in chapter 14, almost every time you see Paul using the word tongues in the plural, he's referring to the genuine, real gift of tongues given by the Holy Spirit that was still in operation back then. And if you recall, when I taught you that when Paul uses the word tongue in the singular, almost every time, and there are a couple exceptions, we'll see one today, the context makes it clear. Almost every time when he uses the word tongue in the singular, he's referring to the counterfeit. Bata, bata, bata. Nonsensical gibberish. Okay? So, let's make our way up in verse 1. Just a quick review from last time. And then we'll make our way down to our text for today, verses 6 through 12. And we'll see if Paul was endorsing the speaking of tongues and speaking into the air. Chapter 14, starting in verse 1, Paul said to the church, pursue love. If you recall, chapter 13 was Paul's chapter on love, where he talked about the permanence of love. He talked about the preeminence of love. Paul said, pursue love. Yet, desire earnestly, he's talking to the church corporately, spiritual gifts that God the Holy Spirit would bring to the church, people who were saved, and people who were gifted with the variety of spiritual gifts so that the church could be edified. And then the end of verse 1, Paul said, but especially desire that the Holy Spirit will gift more and more people with the gift of prophecy to be able to declare God's truth. Why? Verse 2. For one who speaks in a, notice, singular tongue, bata, 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 the gibberish, does not speak to men. Well, wait a second. We've been learning that the purpose of spiritual gifts is for the edification of the body. So we see here Paul's rebuking the bata, bata, bata. Why? Because you're not edifying or blessing people, but rather you're speaking to God. Actually, in the Greek, I think a better translation is you're speaking to a God. For no one understands. In his spirit, the person who's doing the bata, 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 speaking mysteries. But verse 3, one who prophesies declares God's truth that people can understand, speaks to man. Do you see it? The tongue, bata, bata, bata. Paul says, you're not benefiting, edifying anybody. You're not speaking to men. They can't understand you. But one who prophesies declares God's truth, speaks to men. For what? For edification and exhortation and consolation. Do you see how Paul is contrasting the gift of prophecy, declaring God's truth, that edifies people versus bata, 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 tongue, nonsensical gibberish, where nobody's edified? Again, verse 4, you'll see the contrast. He says, one who speaks in a tongue, bata, 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 edifies himself. That's not the purpose of spiritual gifts, right? The purpose of spiritual gifts is for the common good, to bless the body of Christ. It's not for private self-edification. So Paul here is rebuking the bata, bata, bata. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies, declares God's truth, edifies the church. Do you see it? Verse 5, Paul said, now I wish that all of you spoke in tongues, plural, the real genuine gift, which Paul had. But even more, that you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets. You need to have an interpreter. Why? So that the church may receive edifying. As we're going to see, as we make our way to the end of chapter 14 in a couple weeks, even the real gift of tongues was regulated during a church service. In fact, just as a review, or preview, I should say, hop over to verses 27 and 28. Paul is talking about the gift of tongues, the regulation, two or three at most. By the way, you notice the word here is in the singular. I'll get into that when we get to our text in a couple weeks. This is one of the exceptions. He's referring here to the real legitimate gift. How do we know that? Because gibberish, Paul wouldn't have regulated gibberish, right? Because gibberish didn't belong in the church. So here we see Paul's regulating tongues. Tongues, a real gift. Look at the regulation. During a church service, two or three at the most should speak in tongues, each in turn, and one must interpret. If there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church. And so, wherever the real gift of tongues was manifest, you also had those who had been given the gift of interpretation. And you will see why that was required in a couple weeks. Well, back to verse 5, Paul said, I wish all of you spoke in tongues, the real gift, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, real gift, unless you've got interpreters. Why? What's the point of your spiritual gifts? So that the church may receive what? Edify. And then our text for today, verse 6. But now, brethren, if I, Paul, uses himself as an example, if I come to you speaking in tongues, real legitimate gift, what will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching, even the real gift? That's why you needed to have interpretation. People needed to be edified, even with the real gift. Somebody who had the real gift of tongues would see a non-believer coming to the church, maybe who spoke a different language, and suddenly that person who had the gift of tongues could speak the language of that non-believer fluently. The non-believer was in awe. Hearing this other person who he knew didn't speak the same language, all of a sudden could speak it. Again, let's say there's a Greek person in the Corinthian church, and all of a sudden the Greek believer sees a Jewish non-believer come in, and suddenly this Greek-speaking believer who has the gift of tongues can now speak fluent Hebrew. He had never studied it before. He had never practiced it. But suddenly, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, he could speak fluent Hebrew. And the non-believing Jew could understand it. And the non-believing Jew was in awe, going, how's this Greek know my language fluently? And he's declaring to me the wonders of God. This non-believing Jew is in awe. But you had to have an interpreter. Why? As this Greek believer was speaking fluent Hebrew to this non-believing Jew, you had an interpreter who was interpreting what this Greek believer was saying and explaining it to the rest of the congregation. Why? So that the church could receive edification. Right? And the non-believing Jew could verify that which the interpreter was explaining, saying, yep, this is exactly what was said to me. Do you understand? Well, Paul said, verse 6, if I come to you speaking in tongues, but the church isn't being edified, something's wrong. What will I profit you? Unless I speak to you either by way of revelation, or of knowledge, or of prophecy, or of teaching. Always remember, gang, the purpose of our spiritual gifts is not for self-edification. It is for the edification of the people of Christ, the body of Christ, and all for the glory of Christ. So Paul even uses himself as an example. People needed to understand what was being said. I mean, how could I benefit you right now if I just turned around and just started speaking to the wall in some sort of nonsensical bata-bata-bata-hama-hama-da-da-da-da? Are you being edified? Are you being taught? Are you learning more about God? No. You're probably thinking, what's he doing? Is he nuts? But if I'm speaking to you in a clear, intelligent, understandable way, and you're learning the Word of God, where you understand what's being said, are you being edified? Absolutely. Again, that's why, even where there was the legitimate gift of tongues there in the church, you had to have an interpreter so that the church could be edified. Otherwise, again, back to verse 28, Paul said, if there's no interpreter, even if you have the legitimate gift of tongues, you don't speak. Because the church can't be edified, right? It's great that this Greek believer who has the gift of tongues can speak fluent Hebrew to the non-believing Jew. The non-believing Jew who understands, but what about the congregation? They can't understand. That's why you need an interpreter. You get it? So back to our text, Paul says, but now, verse 6, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, real gift, what will I profit you? I mean, if you don't understand, unless I speak to you either way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching. Again, Paul's taking a shot at this nonsensical gibberish. Nobody can understand it. And then he uses the example of lifeless instruments. Verse 7, he goes, even lifeless things, such as a flute or a harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp, right? Think of it this way. Let's say you're going to a concert or even going to a worship service, and the worship team, you get there early, and the worship team is up on the platform, and they're tuning their instruments. Are they playing a beautiful medley? Melody, I should say? No. It's a cacophony of chaos, just indistinct sounds. Nothing's blending, right? And chances are, you're not going to be able to take that too long. It's going to be nauseating. You're going to leave. But then you'll come back 20 minutes later, a half hour later, after the band has tuned everything. Now they start to play a beautiful melody. Boy, you can understand the beauty of that. You can hear the beauty of it. See it. You can't actually see it, but you understand what I'm saying. Well, that's what Paul's saying here. Again, think of our context. He is rebuking the gibberish in light of the real gift. Yet even with the real gift, Paul used himself as an example in verse 6. He said, if you guys aren't understanding, if the whole body's not understanding what's being said, how does that benefit you? It doesn't. And then he goes towards his rebuke, again, towards those who are bringing in the counterfeit. He goes, let's talk about lifeless instruments, like a flute and a harp. How can you enjoy what is being played if the instrument or instruments are not producing a distinct sound? If the sound is indistinct, a cacophony of noise. He uses another example, verse 8. Let's talk about a bugle or a trumpet. If the trumpet, bugle, produces an indistinct sound, trumpets were used back then to warn people, right, of oncoming enemy? Or to prepare the people to go out to battle in war? You imagine if the guy is blowing the trumpet and he produces it, the trumpet produces an indistinct sound? How's a person going to get up and prepare for battle? A person may just roll over. Nobody's going out to war, right? Or to protect the city. Verse 9. So also you, Paul said to the Corinthians. You, in this context, referring to those who were using the counterfeit. Unless you utter by the tongue, notice singular, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? Tongue singular here, I think in the context, really can mean not the bata, bata, bata so much, but he's referring to the actual part of your body, the tongue. Just like a flute or a harp or a bugle trumpet, unless those lifeless instruments produce a distinct sound, you're not really enjoying what you're hearing, and you're not getting the message of what you're hearing, right? Paul said the same thing. Unless you speak with your tongue, speech that is clear, as opposed to bata, 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 hana, 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 how will it be known what is spoken? It won't be. For you will be speaking into the air. Was Paul promoting that or rebuking that? He was rebuking it. Yet, unfortunately, in many modern-day tongue-speaking churches, they say it's okay to do the bata, 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 speaking into the air. They'll acknowledge that nobody else understands, but they'll say that your speaking into the air is drawing you closer to God. Oh, is that what Paul was saying here in the context? No. He was not promoting that. Again, think about it, gang. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? The edification of the body. Again, just hop down to verse 12. Paul says, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Bata, 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 speaking into the air does not edify the body. Nobody can understand them. And they may be involved in self-edification, thinking that somehow they're drawing closer to God. But the purpose of spiritual gifts is not for private self-edification. It is for the edification of the body of Christ, for the glory of Christ. Paul said, verse 9, so also, unless you utter by the tongue, I think the physical part of your body, speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you'll be speaking into the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no language is without meaning, right? Good morning. Доброе утро. Добрый день. Three languages. English, Macedonian, or Croatian, Macedonian. All three languages. What I just said, those words have meaning to people who can understand those languages. Every language has meaning, except bata, 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 right? There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind is without meaning. And then Paul said, if then I do not know the meaning of a language, I'm going to be to the one who speaks like a barbarian. And the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me, because you can't understand each other. So also, verse 12, and here's the clincher. Seek, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, he's telling the church, seek to abound for what? The edification of the church. Does bata, 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 speaking in the air, edify the church? No. First of all, bata, bata, bata is not the real gift of tongues. It's the counterfeit gibberish. And speaking in the air? I think it's pretty clear, right? In this context, Paul's not promoting that. He's rebuking it. Why? The purpose of spiritual gifts is for what? To edify the body and bring glory to Christ. In fact, you can just take a look. He's going to say it again, not just in verse 12. He said it in verse 5, as we reviewed today. Our text for today, verse 12, seek to abound for the edification of the church. And hop over to the end of verse 26. Let all things be done for what? Edification. Do you see the point? And so, this modern day idea of speaking in tongues and speaking into the air as though that's something good, not according to Scripture. Again, what you see today by those who claim they have the gift of tongues, they're not speaking clear, intelligible foreign languages that others can understand and be edified by. No. There's no interpreter because nobody can interpret bata, bata, bata. You don't see clear, intelligible foreign languages. You don't see the genuine, real gift of tongues as we see in the Scriptures. That's because the gift has ceased. Instead, what you see is the counterfeit being used. Again, the counterfeit that has its roots in pagan mystery religions. In fact, many pagan religions today do the bata, bata, bata. That stuff doesn't belong in the church. And this idea of speaking in the air and having this prior prayer language with God where you're being edified and drawn. No. Again, as I conclude, end of verse 5. So that the church may receive edifying. End of verse 12. Seek to abound for the edification of the church. End of verse 26. Let all things be done for edification. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.